All right. So that's a cue to the talk today. It's about dating. That was a funny clip, don't you think? No? It's not funny? Yes. All right, that's better. I thought it was funny. I have another one that's way funnier. Nice. What's that? Yeah, I'm going to show it. I'm just, I got a couple things to say first, and then we'll show it. So we got two YouTube clips today by the Skit Guys. That one was called Too Deep Too Soon. So, anyway, that has nothing to do with the talk. I just thought it was funny, and it was a minute, so I'm like, oh, I'll just do it to start with. So tonight, we're finishing a series on relationships that honor God. It's been lots of fun, I hope, for you guys. And next week, we're going to do a Q&A. So bring your phones. We're going to be texting in questions. Girls are going to be on that side, guys on this side. You guys are going to have screen and stuff set up for you this time so that you can text in your questions just like the guys get to. So we won't play favorites. Because our girls we have some techno girls now, or tech girls, tech savvy girls. Techno girls doesn't sound that great. Tech savvy, though, does, right? Yeah. So, we're going to do that next week. So think about some questions. I know that probably there's going to be a lot of relationship questions on that side and probably less relationship questions on this side. What? That's lies? You don't think the guys, or you think the guys are going to ask a lot of relationship questions? Wow. This is going to be a really revealing talk for you, I think. Guys are a lot different. They don't really think about relationships the same way girls do, and they don't really talk about them, and they don't have a lot of questions. But guys, feel free to think up some questions for next week, and if we don't have a lot of questions, we can do other questions. There's a question, Austin.
Why do guys always have to ask girls?
Why do guys? So that the girl knows that you're not a coward and that you're an actual man and worth dating.
Leadership.
Is that good?
Leadership.
That's short, simple, and to the point? No, they're not cowards. It's up to you to put your neck out there. You don't want the girl to put your neck out there, her neck out there, because that's just cowardly on the guy's part, right? We're supposed to be strong and manly and all that kind of stuff, and girls like that, right? Manly guys? Yeah? Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, they think they like that, but they don't really. Okay, so just a quick review from the last few weeks that we've talked. One of the themes that we've been talking about a lot is that your body is a temple. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Your body's a temple, and why is it a temple? Yeah, it belongs to Jesus. It's Jesus' temple. So that's kind of undergirding this whole relationships talk, is that in order to honor God with our relationships, Jesus is the one who has to be occupying the temple of our lives. So if Jesus is not there, we're in trouble, okay? Or if Jesus is there and we've brought a different idol in, remember, the gods of our cultures, like sex, money, music, whatever, we brought that god in there, then there's a big war going on in your soul. And Jesus says that your body belongs to God. It's his temple. The temple doesn't belong to any of these other gods and other things that our culture offers us. We also talked about sexual immorality, and that's, remember, God's junk box, that it's really broad term and it encompasses a huge amount of things. We talked about two types of lust, and really, we defined lust as just desire, right? Where lust would be like strong desire. And so you can have a lust for all sorts of things, not just sexual things or relational things. And so we come into this. Oh, we talked about destroying the altar last week with Gideon. And if you went to the Lakeland lockdown, you heard the rest of the story, right, to Gideon, right? So we did part two of that one. So anyway. So tonight, we're talking about dating. And we've talked about all this stuff leading up to dating, because this is the practical stuff. So what does this mean for me, right? How does this stuff we've been talking about, how does it affect me? Or you, not me personally, right? I'm speaking for you guys. Is that good? Right? Because otherwise, it might be good and it might be challenging, but if you can't apply it to your life, if you can't get some tools to deal with relationships in life, then it's good information, but it doesn't have any teeth, right? And we want to have some bite on this whole relationships and honor God. So here's a little preamble before we, let's do the clip now, actually. This clip is, it's really funny, and it's making fun of eHarmony. It's called Need Harmony, but kind of the deal is it emphasizes some of the extremes that we actually play out in life, and we'll laugh at them, but they're generalizations and extremes, but they're true to some extent in a lot of us, okay, and maybe even all of us. So let's hit the clip. That was pretty funny. Okay, the reason I wanted to play that is there's some real extremes in there that play out in our lives. There's the needy person. There's the guy who's completely emotionally disconnected with his own emotions and everyone else's. There's the girl who's the hugger, right? She's like, hug, 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 hug. So it kind of plays all these different extremes. And the reason why it's funny to us is because we see that. In fact, you guys are probably thinking of people as you're thinking that, like, oh, or maybe even thinking of yourself and like, oh, I hope I'm not like that. But we see that all around us. And because relationships are really strong desire in, or God has built a really strong desire in us for relationships. And specifically, tonight we're talking about dating and relationships with the opposite sex, right? There's that God-given desire. The reason why it's so powerful isn't because it's dirty or bad or anything like that. It's because it's divine. That God's given, he's built this in us, this divine power, this relation that relationships have. It's because God created them. He created them good, and he created us to be relational beings. So that's why there's such a pull. That's why there's such incredible power behind relationships and behind sex and all these things, because they're divine. God built them into us. He designed us with these incredible, powerful things within us, which is also why they can be used so poorly. The things that God intends to be divine and good for us and benefit us end up becoming demonic when we choose to walk away from God and use them in a way that hurts ourselves. We think, of course, we don't think that we're hurting ourselves, but often we are, because sin always destroys us, and eventually it catches up with us, and then we realize down the road, it's like, oh, I guess it does. So here's what I want you guys to get from this talk. You do not belong to the culture. You don't have to believe its lies. You don't have to fit into the culture, and you don't have to date when you're six. I don't know. Okay, that's an exaggeration, right? But you don't have to be ashamed about being a virgin. You don't have to be ashamed about all these things that our culture just pushes on us. You don't have to believe in those things. You do not belong to your culture. You're not a slave to our culture. Don't be a slave. Don't just give in to these things that the culture is preaching to us and telling us that we should be, or telling us that this is what you need to believe. This is how you need to act. Don't buy into it. You're not a slave to culture. You're not. Because you belong to God. That's why we've been talking about being a temple. You belong to God. You don't have to be a slave to culture and what it's trying to push on us. Because you belong to God. That is, when you're a Christian, that is just the awesomest thing ever. You belong to God. You're one of his kids. Okay, so that's the transition, kids. I got a PowerPoint here, and Robin's going to put up. These are my kids. Now, here's one of the things you need to understand. I'll tell you when to go to the next one. You need to understand that as a dad, I've experienced a whole new facet of life. When I look at those kids, man, like, even when I was putting the pictures on, I'm just like, oh, these kids are so awesome. I love my kids so much. I haven't seen them today because it's Wednesdays. I don't get to see them at night because I'm here, right? And so I'm thinking, look at them. Like, they're just amazing kids. I love them so deeply. And I want you guys to kind of get this. I gush over them. Like, I'm sorry. There's an audience here. I just love them so deeply. I would do anything for them. I would die for them. I would do anything for those kids. And I want you guys to understand that God feels that way about you. Way more than I feel about my two daughters and my son. I can't even imagine how it could be more, because I love them so much. But it's more. God loves us an infinitely amount more. And that blows my mind. Each one of you guys, God loves you so much. And the reason why we talked about culture, and because here's the thing, when we buy into the culture, when we buy into the things that the world is preaching to us and telling us to do, we feel valueless and worthless. And God, as our Father, just like, I don't want my kids to feel valueless or worthless. That breaks my heart. I want them to have value. I want them to feel like that my love is unconditional, that I just love them so much. I want them to know that, and it gives them worth and value. And that's what God does for us. We're His temple. We're His kids. He loves us so much. And it's because of God's love that we have value and that we're worth something. And here's the thing, when we buy into the culture, we become full of despair. We feel worthless. We thought it was going to be this grand thing, and now we feel worthless and useless, and all these horrible things come into our minds about we think about ourselves, because the culture's promising us all these grand things, but they don't tell you what's over here and the despair and the darkness that's involved in pursuing sin and pursuing things that God doesn't want you to be involved in. Next picture. Specifically for you girls today. This is my daughter Naya. She's my oldest, she's 7. And the next picture, is Everett. She's 2. Now, I want you guys to know that when my girls get a little bit older, I'm gonna be talking to them about the very things we're talking about today. This is how much I believe in this stuff. This is how much that I love you guys, and I want you guys to benefit from it, because I love those girls so much. I want to set them up. I don't want them to make big mistakes. I don't want them to make foolish choices. I don't want them to date the wrong guys. And remember, God is your heavenly Father. He wants the same thing. Okay? Nah, she's amazingly cute. Okay, we better turn it off, otherwise you guys won't hear a word I'm saying. You'll just be like, oh, look at that girl. She's so cute. Oh, the girls will. The guys are like, come on, let's go. Yeah, that's a kid. So here's, we're just going to go right into some practical stuff. I want to read from 1 Corinthians. I didn't get the Bibles out because I'm just going to read it quickly. And this is kind of encompasses what we've just talked about a little bit, but I'm going to expand on it. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. He does it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. That's why I don't jog. No, just kidding. If I'm going to run, I'm going to play basketball or something, right? I do not fight or box like a man beating the air. Right? That's kind of useless. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself won't be disqualified for the prize. See, Paul has given us some hints here. He's like, I don't want to be a slave to my body. I want my body to be a slave to me. Doesn't make sense, doesn't it? You don't want your body and your desires and all these things to enslave you. You want to be able to control them. You want to be able to keep them where they should be, right? Otherwise, your desires completely overtake you and rule you, and you just become a slave to your own body. Here's something I want to share with you that I just learned a couple weeks ago. And I could use this in a talk when we talked about pornography and we talked about lust and a few of these other things. Is that in order to fight these desires that are within us, we've usually been taught to deny them, okay? And I was listening to this guy, and it was awesome. He was just like, just opened up a new picture for me. I'm like, yeah, this is right. And he was saying, this never works. It's like telling a hungry man to stop being hungry. You can't do that. It doesn't work. He said, the only way to fight lust or strong desire is with another desire. You don't fight it with denial, because you'll lose. Because the strong desire will eventually take over. And he said, it was awesome. And he went through all these examples. He said, this works every time. It's amazing. But here's kind of what he's getting at, is that if you have these strong sexual desires, these things that God has built in us that are good, however, they can take us down a path that's wrong if we use them outside of marriage. or if we go into pornography, or if we go, or if we're willing to date any guy that comes along because he's cute and if we don't have any standards. Remember the one guy is like, yeah, I decided to lower my standards and go to Need Harmony. Well, we laugh at that, but seriously, I know very few people who date and don't actually do that. We laugh at it, but we're all guilty of it. We're willing to throw away our standards, our faith, everything that we stand on because somebody likes us. And we get all warm and fuzzy inside, and we, seriously, it's horrifying. So here's the deal. There's this desire in us for relationship. There really is. And so how do you fight that as a teenager? Can you just deny it? Just deny. I'm just not going to do it. I'm willpower. It doesn't work. Or pornography, lust, whatever it is. I'm not going to do it. You have to ask God to put in front of you something that you will desire more. And one of the things that this guy said and resonated with me is, came all to me, I realized it, is one of the things that I want for my life, I want to be a really good preacher. I know that's kind of nerdy for you guys, whatever. But I do. I really want God to speak to people. Like, I desire deeply that there would be power when I preach, that not my power, but that God would actually speak to people. And that just excites me. And one of the things that this guy was saying, and I've realized in my past, is that he was like, you know, if you want to delve into pornography, if you want to delve into sexual sin, then you can't be a great preacher. It affects you. And so you've got to go one of two directions. You can't have both. Now, if I want to be a great preacher, I have to leave this behind. Not that I don't struggle with that stuff. I do. I'm a guy, right? I struggle with that stuff. But I have to leave it behind because the vision of what I want, because I want it for you guys, I want it for any audience that I speak to. I want God to speak to them because I know how awesome it is when God speaks to us. And so what you need to do, ladies, if you just deeply desire to be in a relationship, you need to ask God to put in front of you something that you desire more. Because here's the deal. If you're willing to date any guy, and if you lower your standards continually, if you're just going to go out with any guy that kind of bats his eyes at you, or because he's popular or is good at basketball or hockey, here's the deal. You can have that now, or you can have a picture of something in the future. Because those aren't the guys that are going to be good husbands, more than likely, right? And you're like, oh, I'm not thinking about husbands. But at some point, you're going to date the guy that becomes your husband. And all those other dating relationships come with you. They do. So ask God. Here's the point of this whole thing. We'll wrap it up and then we'll get into the practical stuff. Ask God to put something in front of you that's more desirable than that immediate relationship. Remember, in the clip there, it was like, we may not have Mr. Right, but we have Mr. Right now. Don't pick Mr. Right now. Wait for what God has for you. Ask God to give you that deep desire. I mean, what do you want for your life? What do you want for your future? Have that in your mind, because that will, seriously, if you have a strong vision for that, and God gives you the strong desire for this over here, and he tells you can't have both. You got to choose. If you're going to walk this path and just date every dude that comes along, you know, and your standard is he cute and if he likes, or even, you know, he says he likes me, then you're not going to be able to go down this path. You have to choose which one you want. You can't have both because they're opposite. They are opposite directions. Okay, enough of that. Here's some, we're going to go through some practical things. Wrong questions to ask when you're in a dating relationship. So now we're progressing to about dating to actual dating stuff, okay? Wrong questions to ask, okay? Right questions to ask. And finally, we're going to talk about watch out for the person who only wants you for your body parts and not the rest of you. And that one's more geared toward the girls. And remember, I have two daughters, okay? Throughout this talk, ladies, remember I have two daughters that I love deeply, and this is for them. As much as it is for you. See, here's the problem. We usually ask the wrong questions when we get into a dating relationship. We start out with questions. Okay, we get into a dating relationship. We got to sort these things out. Okay, there's a physical aspect, spiritual, emotional. There's all these different connections happening. So where do we draw boundaries? And I've heard lots of talks on boundaries. In fact, I've done talks on boundaries. Unfortunately, this is what happens. This is why we ask, how far is too far? You ever heard that question asked about dating? Yeah, it's the wrong question. You know why? Because it's like asking, how much sin can I get away with, or how much can I get away with before it becomes sin and God's angry with me? Right? That's just brutal. I mean, think about it. You guys don't have kids, but I do. But if my kids were always looking to get away with as much as possible just before they get a spanking. So if they can walk this line just on this side and never quite get the spanking, that's what I'm talking about. Okay? That's why that question is the wrong question. How far is too far? Well, as soon as you make a boundary, this is the problem with boundaries, you go to the boundary, right? I mean, this is the boundary. It's like you set up a fence where your kids can play, and they will play on the edge around the fence. You know, you go to the boundaries. Okay? That's why this is the wrong question. How far will you go? How far can I go? It's all talking about how much I can get away with before it becomes sin. Wrong question. Okay, here's another wrong question. How can I make my boyfriend or girlfriend happy? You're like, how can that be the wrong question? Isn't that good? Well, it's not that we're trying to make them unhappy, right? And it's not bad to make them happy. But it's the wrong question to ask if you haven't asked this question first. How can this relationship honor God? If you haven't asked that question first, how can I make God happy before I make my boyfriend or girlfriend happy? You're in trouble. It becomes the wrong question. Finally, what happens if my boyfriend or girlfriend says that they want to go this far and that if I don't go that far, I don't love them? This has come up. Ladies, this has come up. The guy's a predator. If he's super selfish, if he's after, again, I'm just kind of skipping to the end. If he's after you for your body parts, this is a big one for guys to say to girls. You would do this if you loved me. What a horrible thing to say to somebody. What a manipulative, selfish thing to say. If a guy says that to you, he doesn't love you. Okay? Obvious, bing, bing, bing. I don't love you. I want what I can get out of you, and then I'm going to discard you. That's what he's saying. Don't fall for that one. Because when girls fall, when they fall for a guy, fall hard. It's not the same as, oh, some guys do, but for the most part, guys don't fall like girls do. Girls will do anything for their guy. So you got to be careful about the guy that you allow yourself to fall for. And if this is one of his things, he'll do this if you love me, he's manipulating you. He doesn't love you. He loves himself because he wants to get out of you what he can. And guaranteed, he will discard you. All right, so enough with the wrong questions. There's lots of them, okay? It's tons of wrong questions. But those are the type of questions. We only have time to go through a few. Those are the type of questions that you got to watch out for. They're the wrong questions. They're asking the wrong thing. They're leading you down a path. It's the wrong path because you want to honor God with your relationships, and those aren't the questions to ask if you want to honor God. Here's some of the right questions. First and most important question is to ask, and we actually already asked, can I honor God with my body, soul, and mind if I'm in this relationship? Okay, if the answer is no, really obvious, it's not a good relationship. It's not something that God desires for you. Second question, right along the lines of the first, kind of fleshing it out a little. How's my relationship with Jesus? Okay, let's say you're in your dating relationship now. You need to ask this question a lot. Okay, if you're dating, ask this question constantly to you and your boyfriend or girlfriend. How is my relationship with Jesus? Is it growing? Is this relationship enabling me to grow and to pursue my faith? And to use my gifts the way that God wants me to use them, and to serve the way God wants me to serve. If the answer is no, it's not a healthy relationship. And that at that point, you may not have to break it off, but you need to talk about with each other. And if it still continues to not help you become more like Jesus and help you to grow in your faith, then it's not a healthy relationship. God wants this for you. He's got this. He wants you to become more like Jesus. Your whole life is, as a Christian, is revolving around this one thing. God wants to conform you to the image of his son. That's what his work is. That's what he's doing in your life. And so if you're in a relationship that's hindering that, You've got to ask yourself, okay, is this relationship more important than my relationship with Jesus? If it is, then you need to deal with that. In fact, Jamie and I had to deal with this. Jamie's my wife. And we were only dating for, I don't know, a year. She'll probably, I don't know the timeline. I'm just saying a year. She doesn't listen to these anyway. So. But it was at some point. She'll be like, no, it wasn't. It was year whatever. We dated for 4 years, by the way. But anyway, so she came up to me and she told me straight out that we need to take a break for a few days. I've got to do some praying and searching my heart because I think that I'm placing you in the position where God's supposed to be. I was like, no, don't do that. We'll do that, but just make sure I'm not in that place because I really like you. I don't want it to go badly. But I look back, and that's one of the reasons why I liked Jamie so much at the time, is because that's the kind of girl she was. She loved Jesus, and if this was starting to hinder her relationship with Jesus, she was willing to cut it off. I'm happy she got things sorted out. She's my wife, and I wouldn't have those three amazing kids. I'd probably be in a ditch somewhere. I don't know where I'd be without her. Anyway. So that's one of the first indicators, okay? Ask about your relationship with Jesus. Here's another question you need to ask when some of the forces and some of the you start believing some of the lies from the culture is, who knows best? Me? The culture? You know, the movie stars, the celebrities, they know best. I mean, look at their lives. They're just perfect, right? They're just happy and they never, you know, they're full of exactly. Divorce, broken relationships. If you're going to look at the celebrities for an idol or to model your life after as far as relationship goes, you're headed for disaster. Right? They've decided that they know better. They pursue all these sinful relationships and they don't work out. So you got to ask that question. Do I know best? Do I know better? And it's funny because all of us will ask that question and we'll be like, of course I don't. Of course God knows better. I mean, that's a stupid question, right? I mean, he's God. If he didn't know better, he wouldn't be God, right? But we do this all the time. Every time we choose to go our own way and push God's way aside, we're telling him, you're a smart God, but I'm smarter. I know you created me and created my brain, but yeah, I know what I'm doing. I know me. I don't think so. Or maybe Teen Magazine. Maybe Teen Magazine knows more than Jesus. I don't know. Do they? No. that's funny. Okay, next, another right question. Does whatever you're thinking about doing, okay, now you're in your relationship, you're wondering about, okay, so how do we do this? How do we grow in our faith, keep growing towards Jesus together, yet separate because we're not married? And how do we balance all these forces, sexual forces, emotional, spiritual, all these connections that are just like, woo, they're awesome, right? They feel great. How do we sort that out and have a relationship that honors Jesus? We need to ask that question. Does whatever you're thinking about doing honor God? So you're trying to sort things out. What's good? It's got to be in your mind. Does this honor God? If we're going to pursue this in our relationship, does it honor God? First question. Anytime you decide to do anything together or have something relational, and not just like go out for supper, you don't have to, you know, I don't know, could honor God, I guess. Depends what you talk about. I don't know. Or, yeah. But the moral questions and the things you got to sort through, right? You need to ask that. You need to make sure that that's at the forefront of your relationship. And guys, you gotta think this. What does God want for you? What does he want? Remember, he's a dad. And a lot of you guys may have a deadbeat dad or may have a dad that doesn't love you or dad that doesn't spend time with you, ladies especially. Watch out, girls. If you have a father who's not involved in your life, you are more susceptible than anybody else. And I know that seems like a horribly politically incorrect thing to say. But if you want to go through statistics, if you want to look at the underlying issues, be my guest. Those are the underlying issues. Absent fathers, fathers who abuse, or fathers who are just uninvolved, those girls tend to go for the wrong guys, and they don't understand what's going on in themselves. They end up choosing a guy like their dad was. Horrifying. And you're like, I'd never do that. But if you look at statistics, it's overwhelming. You're not the exception. You just think you are. Sorry, that's, but you're not. See, God wants what's best for you. I want those girls, I want what's best for them so badly. I mean, I've already started, Everett's two, and I don't know how many times I've prayed that God would bring a godly man into her life to be her husband. Seriously. This is how, you guys laugh at this, but you're not there yet. When you become a mom or dad, all of a sudden this is like, whoa, this is going to be way out of my control. Oh. But seriously, because I so deeply want Everett and Naya to meet men that are godly, who love Jesus, who are going to treat them like God's daughters. Not my daughters, God's daughters. Because that's way bigger. You're dating God's daughters, dude. Watch it. I want what's best for them. And even more so, that's what God desires for you. Because he loves you so deeply. You're his daughters. You're his little girls. So he wants you to embrace what he has for you. Well, how do I make, here's a good question. How do I make sure that God is always number one in my life? Guys, how do you do that? It's hard because we battle with our hormones, right? Especially teenagers, man. Seriously, it's tough. I'm like really happy I'm not a teenager anymore. I feel for you guys. It's tough. It's hard. It is tough going. It's difficult. And you feel like, oh, I just can't do this because how can I be what God wants me to be and have him work in my life and deal with all this struggle when it comes to sexual things and lust and all these things? How can I do this? How can I? Well, this is some, you know what? This is some advice, again, I heard just a few weeks ago. And this is what he described. He said, often we describe ourselves as a circle with a spiritual core. Okay, we're spiritual people. But he said, this is a better way to think of us. That we're actually, you know, guys know what an ellipsis is? It's a circle with two centers. Okay, it doesn't have one center, it has two. And he says, we have a spiritual pull and a sexual pull. And he says, when one gets out of whack, it affects the other. So if spiritually you start chasing after the wrong stuff, you get something in front of God, whether it's possessions, whatever it might be, relationships, what happens is the sexual pull gets out of balance. And when you pursue sex in a way that's dishonoring to God, it affects your spiritual pull. And so the idea is that we want to be right spiritually. We want to worship God. We want our bodies to be his temple. And sexually, we want to be honoring to him. That doesn't mean we're not going to fall. Guys, I want you to know, it doesn't mean you won't fall, that you won't struggle, that it isn't a struggle. Of course you will. Of course it's hard. Of course it's difficult as a guy to get through this, especially in our culture when we're just saturated with sex everywhere. And, you know, you hear all these statistics about how much a guy thinks about sex. It's ridiculous. I don't know if they're true. I mean, I've heard every, you know, an average once every 8 seconds. Okay? It's a lot, right? I mean, there's a lot of seconds in a day, and one out of every eight, that's a big chunk. That's like an eighth. Sorry. Just seeing if you're awake. They're just, like, staring at me, so. They're like, what? I didn't know that about boys. Sorry, guys. I blew it for you. So ladies, you got to watch out. Guys who aren't interested in pursuing Jesus, who aren't interested in their bodies being a temple to God and a relationship that honors God, don't care about that stuff. You're like, oh, but they're such a good guy. Whoop-de-doo. They don't care about the right stuff, so it doesn't matter. They care about something else. And this is the transition into this last part before we go to small groups. Watch out for the person who wants you only for your body parts and not the rest of you. This goes both ways, but mostly this is for girls. Guys, this goes for you too, though. There's girls who are predators out there as well. Here are some things. Oh, sorry. Yeah, here are some things someone who does not really care about you might say. And we already went through this one. Remember I said we skipped ahead? Well, we did. If you really love me, you would fill in the blank. It's manipulative. And you guys can see it now, but when you're in a relationship, it's your heart is about to be torn apart, especially if you've fallen for the guy and he pulls out that. Brutal. Run. Hopefully he pulls it out quicker in your relationship. He pulls that statement out and you're like, then you can, before you've fallen, head over heels and you can run. Guys, I hope you don't haven't said that to a girl. It's a horrible thing. You need to repent if you did. It's awful. He doesn't care about you. He just wants you for your body parts. That's all he wants. He cares about himself. See, healthy relationships are about serving each other. Watch out for the guy who wants to isolate you. This is the other thing. If you're dating a guy or about to date a guy, and he's always trying to get you away from safety, from friends and family, and he's trying to take you out of the secure zone, okay? Watch out for that guy. The guy who's always trying to pull you out of your safety net is not, that's not loving. That's selfish. This guy has an agenda. Watch out for that guy. He wants to take advantage of you. He wants you to fall for him so he can pull out the, if you love me, you would, line. God hates this. This is his daughter. You're his daughters. Don't let some jerk do that to you. You know, there's more. We got like 20 minutes for small groups. I know this is a long talk. In fact, the last time we did it with the clips and everything was like an hour. But I don't want to go that long because I like the small groups because I want you guys to talk about this stuff in your small group. Okay, you have leaders you can trust. You're going to talk about standards. You're going to talk about, you're actually, ladies, I think in your small group, you might even be doing a list of standards. Okay, what do you want to find in a guy? Like, what is important as a Christian? If you're a Christian girl who loves Jesus and wants Jesus to stay number one in your life, what does that mean the guy needs to be? Okay, let's up the standards. Let's not lower them. Let's not be like Need Harmony. Okay, let's not lower our standards. So you got to be ready for temptation. When it comes, and it will, it'll come when you least expect it. And when it comes to relationships, remember we talked about being divine? That's why the temptation is so powerful. God designed it. It's divine. It's awesome. God's given us this incredible blessing in relationships. But it can be horribly destructive. As awesome as a good, healthy relationship that honors God can be, a relationship that dishonors God destroys you and puts you into a spot of utter despair. And ladies, I mean, we heard from Shannon last week. That was awesome. That was an amazing story. Not that the story is awesome, but it was awesome that you shared with us. And what God has done in your life, right? Unbelievable. Don't walk that path. Don't walk through. Death is basically what you're going to walk through. And unfortunately, you know, I've done this. I've been preaching to kids for over 10 years now. Unfortunately, I've seen a lot of, and you know, I've seen guys do this too. Sorry, guys, if it seems like I'm talking to girls a lot, but this, you know, as far as relationships go, I mean, this is right down girls' alley. I've seen so many girls lose their faith. They've been baptized. They've come to Jesus. They've been in leadership. They've been in, and a guy comes along, sweeps them off their feet, and they compromise everything. Like, seriously, I don't know how many times I've watched, and my heart just breaks every time I see it. A girl throw her faith away who said, I would never do that. Like, as if. I love Jesus. There's no guy that can get me to do that. If that's your attitude as ladies, you're in for trouble. Big trouble. Bible says, if you think you're standing, watch out. You'll fall. Don't get proud, don't get cocky, as if a guy could do that to me. You do not understand the power of love and a power of relationships, because these things are divine. So don't, that's just a proud statement. You know, another statement in the Bible, pride comes before a fall. That's why if you think you're standing, watch out. You need Jesus to help you through this. You need your friends. This isn't in my notes, but if you're in a dating relationship and you guys are always trying to get away from everyone else and just spend time together, super unhealthy. You need other people in your relationship. You really do. You need them to help you. You need to help them. You know the statement, love is blind? That's a statement that's huge because love is blind. You can't see. You can't see the faults. I mean, the person you're dating is just perfect, right? And for those of you who have loving parents who know and can, you know, see the guys or girls that you might want to date and go like, whoa, no, no, no. Again, think of me and my daughters. I want what's best for them. Your parents want that too. And as hard as it is for you to believe, because for some reason when we become teenagers, we don't believe that anymore, which is crazy, especially if you have loving parents who love Jesus. They want what's best for you. They can see the dangers. Some of them have walked through those dangers. Some of them have made those bad choices. They don't want you to make those choices because they destroy your soul. The pain is indescribable. Broken relationships. And my heart goes out to you, ladies. Don't compromise your faith for guys. And you need to plan before. And that's why you need to actually think about your standards. You need to think about the type of guy that you're going to allow to date you. Hear that again. You're the one who picks the guy. Don't let the guy pick you. Okay, ladies? You pick him. You pick him because of these standards. If you're a Christian, because he loves Jesus. And that you pursue a dating relationship because he continues to honor you. And that you stay in that relationship because he wants to grow to be more like Jesus and he wants you to grow more like Jesus. He doesn't want to isolate you. He doesn't want to manipulate you with the love statements. There's a whole bunch of them. So you can avoid situation two by choosing the right guy. Now, again, we never can tell for sure, right? That's why you need people in your life. You need friends who love you, parents who love you. Ask their advice. If you don't want to ask their advice, that should be an indicator this is not a good relationship. If you're not willing to ask people who love you about this person or people who know them and you don't listen to them, you've basically, like an ostrich, you know what an ostrich does when it's in danger? Sticks its head in the sand. Is that going to save it? That's what you're doing, okay? That's what you're doing. You're sticking your head in the sand or you're going like, blah, 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 can't hear you. It's not going to happen if I can't hear you, right? It's silly. So listen to the people who are around you. God's placed you in that position and blessed you with people who love you because they can help you. They can see the things you can't because love is blind. All right, that's enough. I'll just keep going if I don't just cut it off here. So I want to pray for you guys. This is such a big area. I want you guys, just like my daughters, ladies, I want you guys to find a guy who loves Jesus and loves you and treats you like God's daughter. And helps you to grow in your faith. Guys, I want you to find a woman who does the same, who desires, who, like, seriously, one of the most attractive things about my wife when I first met her was how much she loved Jesus. It blew me away. It's like, whoa, I gotta catch up. She loved Jesus so much. I was like, it was so attractive to me. Because suddenly I had this vision of what I was getting at 25, and I was kind of like thinking in the future a little bit more, and I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, I just don't want to date anybody. I want someone who loves Jesus, because seriously, when you have kids, boy, does this ever make a big deal, because suddenly the lives of these little people that you just unbelievably love is at stake. And that's why it's so important, guys, to have a girl that loves Jesus, and ladies, to have a guy that loves Jesus. Super important. Okay. Again, I said I was going to pray, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, my daughters have been on my mind this whole talk. I love them so much. I keep thinking of the images that we saw on the screen. Lord, I want this for them. I want you to provide them with godly men who love Jesus. I want my son to find a godly woman. And Lord, just like I want for these teenagers, the same thing. You love them so much. Please show them that, Lord. Please communicate to them that tonight. How much you deeply love them and how much that you just want the best for them. And that if they would only embrace what you have, it would change their lives. It would change the outcome of their lives. It would change the direction of everything. Lord, help them to be humble enough to listen to advice from people who love them. Father, help them to pick out the statements that are manipulative from someone that they're thinking about dating or maybe even dating already. Give them the strength that they need, Lord, to say no when it's not honoring to you. Father, help them to put you first in all their relationships. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.